Blog Talk Radio.
Been that long since I've done a show. 646-652-4479 is the number. Apparently it has been that long since I've done a show. I decided to do a quick show, impromptu, no prep, and going to do a sports show of all things, but decided to go ahead and do one. I've been so busy over the last few months, haven't had a chance to really do a sports show like I wanted to at the end of the NBA season and the off season, baseball season, football season is now turned all the way around. So I wanted to try to do a little bit of a catch up. So hopefully those who might be listening and you enjoy Atlanta sports would appreciate the show. Again, the number 646-652-4479. Let me go ahead and get the chat room open up just in case there's some international listeners. I know there's a few people who are in the military across the world who can't ever really call into my show, but they do listen, and also other fans from other countries such as Australia. Shout out to Matthew Blanche out there, and a couple other. And the chat room is not opening for some reason. Tonight we're going to be talking Atlanta sports primarily, Georgia sports if we throw in UGA, University of Georgia. I don't really talk about Georgia Tech that much, by the way. And we're going to start, let's see, I did jot down a few notes. We're going to start with the Atlanta Hawks. And if all of you have listened to me in the past, you know I'm a Hawks fan for a long, long time. It doesn't look like the chat room is going to open up tonight. That's fine. And we know how the season ended. We got swept again. Back-to-back years, he's gotten swept. Didn't look good getting swept. So what happened? Lots of Atlanta fans really didn't have any kind of faith that, you know, because of past experience, would change in regards to the roster. You know, we've been so used to apathy with the team, so used to the same old, no real shakeups other than, you know, 20 years ago trading Dominique. Guess that was a shakeup, right? And we were going to just keep going the same old way and never really get an opportunity to really change the team, advance, change the team's moniker, change the team's attitude to really want to do more than just be okay, which is meaning to be in the playoffs for the last 9 straight years, which is cool, which is fine. I mean, it's not like we've been in the doldrums for 10 years, although, hey, guess what? We were the 10 years before that, just miserable, right? After they got rid of Smitty and Mutombo and Mookie. Well, not Mookie, but you know what happened. The J.R. Ryder trade to Portland. Anyway, 646-652-4479. So we were really prepared to just have the same team come back again and probably get swept for a third straight year, but it didn't happen. Somehow, some way, someone decided, you know what, we have to change it up, and we have to change it up drastically. So two of the players that have been with the team the longest are no longer here, okay? You virtually have a whole new lineup, okay, via free agency because of Mr. Dwight Howard signing with the team. But other than that, you also had a draft that – you know, we know our draft history, and someone posted just today how, you know, what of our loss, what's the word, trades worst trades in Hawk history. The St. Louis Hawks, did you know, actually we had Bill Russell and we traded him away for, you know, garbage pails, and 11 championships later, Boston Celtics, right? So we have not had good drafts. We have not had good dealings with our organization. So this NBA draft was going to be pretty important, right? How many draft picks have been actually playing with the Atlanta Hawks, other than the two people who are no longer here, of course, right? Who've actually had some semblance of a career? Not many, right? Oh, spam's pulling up on my page. So it was a dangerous situation, really, because the Hawks organization as a whole really could have lost the whole fan base if they had just messed up again. But to their credit, they did what they had to do. And now, of course, a lot of people are like, well, we have to live with that now. I'm fine with it, because there is no way I was just going to keep seeing the same stuff happen over and over again where there is no upside. We had what we had, and it wasn't going to get any better with what we had with the two players that are no longer here. Okay? There's no upside. There is no way all of a sudden someone, after going to get paid $150 million, all of a sudden is going to average 25 and 12. It wasn't going to happen, was it? We'll see, but I don't think it will, all right? But what we do know is the intangibles of wanting to win, wanting to do more, wanting to show emotion and passion, and people want to discount that doesn't count. Hey, it does. Sorry. Because look who is constantly in the winner's circle at the end of the NBA season, and look at the player makeup of those teams. Even going to the Dallas series when they beat the Heat, Dirk Nowitzki wanted to win, didn't he? And so did the rest of those teammates, and they did what was necessary to make sure that they beat the Miami Heat, that first super team, right? So why can't the Hawks get that together? You see what I'm saying? I have an issue with that. And again, that's why I'm happy that they've made the changes, at least to adjust it, to give the team a chance to really play like they probably should have been playing, but they weren't really allowed to because of who they had. 646-652-4479 is the number. And tonight I'm probably not going to have any callers tonight because I didn't push for callers. This is really just a straight-up podcast on sports because I didn't prepare this show. And talking about the Hawks, after we did our draft and we got the players that we did in the draft, you could obviously see where they were going. You could obviously see that they were really going to change the makeup of the team because of the rookies that are going to be coming on and their skill set, okay? And you can see that there's going to be competition on who's going to make the roster, and that's not really been apparent for a while, right? You got people who can beat out other people now, so they all have to be on their P's and Q's to stay on the team, okay? So that's an encouraging mark. With Dwight Howard being here and all the things that he said. Now, of course, words just mean but so much. Actions be louder than words, right? But he's saying the right things. And we all see the video, right? He's hitting all the jumpers, right? He's hitting all the free throws. We'll see if it translates in the NBA game, but we'll see. But he's making the effort, right? He's enthused. He's showing himself all over the city and really the country as an Atlanta Hawk. That's not really been apparent over the last decade, right? The actual name that people recognize really around the world. He's a world figure, by the way. That's huge, drawing attention to this franchise, and he's not ashamed to do it, which is kind of a big thing too, right? And then we have our new point guard. They gave the reins to our young German point guard, and always has been compared to a young Rajon Rondo. But at the end of the day, this particular player, Dennis Schroeder, is onto himself, and he has all the opportunity to really prove that it was his right to go ahead and take this team over. He said it a year and a half ago that he felt that he's going to have to be the point guard to this team, and now he has a chance to ultimately prove it. Okay. So again, it's a big change. It's a drastic change. For some people, it's a scary change. But again, at the end of the day, were you really going to be comfortable doing the same thing for a 10th straight year? We're not getting no younger, folks. Atlanta fans, Hawks fans, really. You know, how long is Dominique going to be on the sideline? And he has his statue outside Phillips Arena. And we just never going to have a chance at a championship? Never get to the finals? Never? Ever, ever? 646-652-4479. Apologize for the chat room not being open. So the Atlanta Hawks, we're going to start the season soon. And we still have a few, you know, changes that need to be made as far as the final roster and whatnot. Encouraged on what they're doing. We saw from the Olympics, we saw some of the individual players we'll be going up against. You know, it's going to be a real interesting Eastern Conference this year of all the changes, a lot of changes, a lot of teams. A lot of teams went bigger, a lot of teams went stronger. We'll see how Dwayne Wade does in Chicago, you know, and just all the other player movements that have happened. It's going to be different. But I feel the Hawks are going to be very competitive. I don't know how many wins they're going to have. I feel that, though, when they make the playoffs, I feel that they have a chance to really advance and not get swept again. you just can't get swept again. I don't care what they have to do, you know, but they can't get swept again. So let's segue into the Atlanta Braves, which, you know, at the end of last season, we started seeing what they were going to do, and then the offseason – they just went ham. You know, every person that we had that had any kind of value, they were gone. And pretty much the only untouchables was Julio and Freddie Freeman. And they are still here, okay? And they basically said, we're going to go young. We're going to restock the farm system. And we're going to start looking at SunTrust. And that's what they did. And then they started doing some weird stuff. They actually did some things that actually were pretty smart, unbeknownst to us, and we just didn't expect it. Maybe we're just thrown off by the drasticness of some of the people that, you know, are no longer Atlanta Braves. But all of a sudden, they started really addressing actual needs. And that was different, right? And so now you have players in the system that can finally replace people we've never really replaced in the last 5.5 years, okay, when we were actually still competitive. So going into SunTrust, now we have lineups, we have outfields, we have infields that actually have a chance to do something. We have a starting pitching staff that, and I mentioned this a few weeks ago, 646-652-4479, we have a bona fide, you know, rotation in the making here. We have Julio, we have Whistler, and we have Fulton Evich. Okay, and just this past series that they just swept the San Diego Padres proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt that if the Braves hit a little bit and we have a decent bullpen, those three starters could be our, let's not say it, right? Maddox, Mopes, Glavin, can we say it maybe? You never know, right? So they have the stuff to do it. And it's just a matter of all those bullpen losses at the beginning of the season. For the first 6 weeks of a doggone season, we gave up everything. And you have Julio with he can't even – he might not even win 6 games this year. He only has a few more starts. Whistler leaves the team and wins. He's 6-11. He's technically our ace. But Julio's really our ace, but shoot, Whistler has all the wins. You know, he's pitched the best. He really has pitched the best technically. You know, Julio coming back off of injury didn't pitch that well. So, you know, I think – I don't know how far the new kid is going to go, but he could probably be our fourth or fifth starter. I think the Braves do need to get one veteran starter who can give us a good solid 10, 12 wins, not hurt us, give us innings or whatnot. But I think Tyler, if he gets more support, I think he can get 15 wins for us. And I think between Fulton Evich, Whistler, and Julio, we're looking at 15, 16, 17 wins each from them. And I said this earlier on one of the social media pages I'm on. We could be looking at the first season from the Atlanta Braves next year. Right now, they're pushing not to lose 100. and they're doing a pretty good job of it right now. I think Minnesota has lost 16 in a row, so now they're the worst team in baseball currently. You know, and the Braves have a long homestand coming up in a week or so. If they can really close out the year at home, I mean, they're really decent on the road. Again, the only reason that the Braves are in such a bad shape, they lost all those games at home earlier in the season. I mean, they just lost a ton of games at home, but they go on the road and almost be 500. It's crazy, okay? As far as hitting goes, they started to hit. You know, Freddie started to hit. Tyler Flowers was hitting. And their NCR day was hitting. Everybody started hitting. And then you bring Dansby up. Dansby out there flashing his glove and getting some hits and things of that nature. Malik Smith probably is not going to come back, but he was out there doing his thing. So between that and also the big signing, the big trade, getting a former outfielder that has, you know, been the man for a while, right? But he's not as in shape as I think he probably should have been. I think by next year, you know, he's going to be where he probably should be, you know, more motivated, you know, probably playing all those, you know, the last 2 years, I guess it was, where he was. And if you are waiting for me to tell you who he is, just bear with me for a second here. Because for some reason, my mind just went blank and I just can't think of his name. But In his previous few years, he was MVP candidate, you know, and he could hit, he could field, he could run, he could do all those things. Right now, not so much, okay? So, I'm trying to pull up his, most of you know who I'm talking about, I'm pretty sure. So, let's see if I can do this a different way. Anyway, in the meantime, as I'm describing that, they have a legitimate left fielder now. Whoever they decide as far as center, whether it be Ender or Malik Smith, or you put Malik Smith in right, because I don't know if whether or not our current right fielder, and this is where doing a show without prep is really bad, but our current right fielder, I don't know if we're going to hold on to him going into next year. We might, but I don't believe so. So, okay, here he is. We are finally where I want to be. So, this is what I propose as far as the Atlanta Braves and next year, depending on who is called up, okay? And the person I was talking about in right field is Markakis, of course, and the person in left field, of course, that would be Mr. This is really bad. I apologize, everybody, for taking so long to find this one person that I can't find. Matt Kemp. There you go. Just roll it off the tip of my tongue. All right. So we have a legitimate slugger in left field now after so long not having anybody out there who could hit power of any kind to help Freddie out to protect him. So now we have that. So if we keep that, I feel that we have Matt Kemp in left, Ender in center, Malik in right. And whether or not you're keeping, you know, Jeff Francoeur got traded. So whether or not we keep Nick or we have somebody else, we'll have to see. At third, I actually like Adonis Garcia at third. He can play the position. He can actually play short. He can play the infield. He can actually play. And he's starting to hit. At short, of course, at this point is Dansby Swanson, the new kid, Marietta. At second base, I feel Ozzy Albies, he's our other young player. Might as well go ahead and bring him up and let Dansby and Ozzy continue playing short and second, like they were in Double-A. First base, of course, for Freeman. I like Tyler Flowers at catcher. Now, they do have some other people in the system now, so you just never know how that might turn out. So I feel that could be a competitive team going into the new stadium, and with depending on who you have, you know, backups and things of that nature, I believe you got Ender. All the players are hitting right now. That's the thing. Like Freddie is hitting 289, Ender 287, Tyler 274, 270 from Adonis. You know, all these people are hitting with men in scoring position. All that stuff counts. You know, we're hitting home runs. You know, doubles, triples, stolen bases, a whole nine yards. I feel we have enough of a team to be very competitive. And then we got the pitching. Pitching, you know, starting pitching wise between Foltynewicz, like I said, Julio, Whistler. Just need to be able to do something with the bullpen. The bullpen has completely failed us this year. I mean, really, I feel the bullpen has given up at least 30 wins easily. I think we could be almost 500 if it wasn't for the bullpen. So hopefully we do something and actually address that, because that's the one thing going into the year before and the year before that. Other than, you know, our former closer, we had nothing. And it was horrible, really. So I'm looking forward to the Atlanta Braves. I'm looking forward to seeing them in the new state. Right about that. SunTrust Field is going to be a ball. New Braves. It had to come. You know, we knew it had to come, but this was just how drastic it was. And I don't think we were ready for it. You know, and some of the moves just were like, didn't make any sense. But now it do make sense. And we can look positively as far as the Atlanta Braves going into the future. Now, last but not least, the Atlanta Falcons. So last year we started really well, right? Offense is popping. Defense was actually better than what was expected. Defense actually finished 16th in the league. We were in all the games except for one or two. But for whatever reason, just the offense just kind of failed us. And a lot of people are really hitting, you know, Matt Ryan hard. A lot of people are all up in arms with the offensive coordinator. I'm one of those people. So going into this year, it's going to be very interesting what changes we're going to make, what they were going to do in the draft. You know, we were last in the league in sacks last year. Were we going to do anything there? Just a lot of changes had to be made. Now, in the offseason, it looked like, you know, our draft, you know, it wasn't what we expected, but it looked like it filled needs, right? And you would figure, you know, a second season into the new offense would make Matt a little bit more comfortable. But, you know, preseason kind of showed a little bit different. And now we have injuries, and, of course, we have suspensions with certain players. So going into this Tampa Bay game next week, it's going to be real interesting how the offense really starts off. And between Julio and Matt and just getting the ball out and the run game, which didn't look very effective in preseason either, it's going to be very interesting how they start this Tampa game. I think is a must win. 646-652-4479 is the number. I think this Tampa Bay game is a must win because we have one of the hardest schedules in the NFL to start off 0-1, and then it'd be a divisional game, which, guess what? We only won one divisional game last year, and we didn't make the playoffs because of that. If we had just won two games, you know, we would have been 9-7 and probably at least a wild card, possibly. You never know. So it's going to be very interesting to where, you know, will Vic Beasley do anything? We'll see. Okay, we got Dwight Freeney. We'll see what he can do. We're going to see what some of these young cats in the linebacker core are going to be able to do. They look really good, though. Okay. We're going to see what our new kick returner is going to be able to do. And I saw him catch some balls tonight as well. So as a receiver, he can be a threat. So that I think he makes the team. McKissick is who I'm talking about. And we're going to see if Matt Bryant can kick and not get hurt, because we really need a field goal kicker that we can rely on. We gave up a lot of points last year because of that issue. But more to the point is going to be on Matt Ryan. You know, if he, you know, a lot of people are starting to say he's regressing, which is scary but think about what's happened. But again, people forget about 2 years ago when he was like throwing the ball all over the place with the dirt cutter offense, you know, but now it's just like he's a completely different person. So kind of worried. And going into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the most state-of-the-art stadium of all doggone time, we really need to have a nice little team going into that stadium, I think. And we really need to be in the NFC Championship game, you know, going into that new stadium, just to make it worthwhile. I'm just saying, just the principle of it all. But the Atlanta Falcons, at least, they also made some changes to try to get better. So you have to give them you know, some kind of, you know, what's the word? Give them a dap for that. But again, the preseason is supposed to show you a little something, and for a lot of people, there's this disappointment, and there are probably some people scared to death. There's probably some people who didn't get season tickets, truth be told, you know, or change their mind or sell them or something because they don't want to go through what they've gone through the last few years. We haven't made the playoffs in the last 3-4 years in a row, you know. So that's a scary thing. And one of the things I'm talking about is, are we going to just give up all of Julio Jones' prime years for nothing? You know, I'd rather trade him if it got that desperate. I want to see, again, what we saw a glimpse of last year in that Carolina game. We need to see like 15, 20 billion times more in this 2016 season. Over the top, over the top, over the top. Make somebody, you know, have to do pass interference on Julio or anybody else. You just can't go through a whole game after game and never pass over 20 yards. That's just stupid when you're in the NFL. All right, and you have a receiver like Julio Jones. That's just, it's embarrassing. And he still had all the yards that he did and all the catches too. That's the crazy thing about it, right? Broke record, right? So I just feel, and this is just being a Falcons fan, that this is a do-or-die season for a whole bunch of people. Definitely the general manager. He's gone. If they go 8-8 again, you know, he's gone. Quinn might be gone. You never know. 2 years in, the defense is better. Now, that's going to be one of the biggest things, how much better the defense can be. If they were 16th last year, can they get into the top 10 maybe? Because that would help out their offense a whole heck of a lot. You know, defense wins championships, as Denver Broncos, right? So it's going to be exciting, I think, 2016. You know, and UGA, almost forgot, with 3 minutes left in the show. So UGA did not, you know, they decided not to start their freshman quarterback, which, like, goes against all the whole hoopla and hype of even bringing them on. So what, you're just not going to play the kid that probably has more talent than everybody else on the staff? And you're going to just let that go. And I kind of mentioned this on social media. It's like, I'm wondering what the real fan base of UGA is feeling like. All those people who are paying for tickets, especially after G day, you know, and you're going to roll out someone who you know is not going to do anything. You see what I'm saying? Let's go 6-6 with the new kid if it comes down to it. But what if he goes 9-3 or 10-2 or something, right? We got two great running backs coming back. What's the worst that can happen, right? So just wanted to throw that out there. I think Easton should be starting. Hopefully he starts after the second game after Lambert has a disastrous first game. I'm sorry, I'm a hater, but this is what's the point, right? So Georgia's going to have an exciting year this year coming up, 2016 season. MLB, Braves, NFL, Falcons, NBA, the Atlanta Hawks, and, of course, college football, UGA. Hopefully next time I'll be a little bit more prepared, but I just wanted to get on just to throw out some stuff, see what people are talking about. I will be on the air probably sooner than later. I'm actually going to be having a guest on my next show. I'll be doing a music show, and I'll have a guest talking about the music industry a little bit, so look forward to that. Please visit www.imtmworldwide.com. Follow me on Instagram, imtmworldwide. Check out those two pages. You'll find out a lot of stuff going on. I actually have a Labor Day weekend special for a lot of different things that I offer, so definitely check that out. You can call 305-204-1826 if you get a chance to ask about what I got going on. Until then, y'all take care. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio, and y'all have a great Labor Day weekend. Peace.